You can be seated. Good to see you this morning. So good to be with you. Thanks for braving the cold and the snow's falling out there. It's beautiful. It's going to be a great day. And if you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah 61. Buckle up. I got to move kind of quickly because I got a lot in my heart to share with you and some important things to celebrate this morning. And one of the things that I'm going to reference is this document that just highlights some of the things and ways that God moved in and through our church family in this past year. God is moving in our midst. Amen. He's doing good things, and I want to encourage you. Something that God was beginning to speak through the theme of the message of the service already was what God had put on my heart to encourage the people of God this morning. He's doing something in your life, and He desires to do something greater in your life. We tend to think about the church corporately. We tend to, as we look at this document, I want you to understand that in any way, shape, or form, if you've been here to pray, to give, to serve, to encourage, you have a part in what God's done right here, and you have a part in what God's doing. And did I ask you to turn to Isaiah 61? If I didn't, turn to Isaiah 61. And I want to read verse 1 through 4. And I want you to hear this. And I love that as we read this, this is a prophetic passage about the anointing that would rest upon Jesus as the Christ. But it's now the anointing that we have access to by the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of what Jesus has made possible for you and me as believers in Him. And I love that it says this: the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. It's on me. That's you. That's me. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Listen, I'm telling you, what God's done in your life and what He's doing in your life, He's interested in saving you and healing you and setting you free from some things that you've been up against and going through. But God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says He knows the plans that He has for you. They're good plans of a future that He has for you. And so He doesn't just want to save you to get you to heaven. He wants to save you and heal you and restore you because He's got a ministry and a destiny and a purpose that He's called you to in your life. And it says, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, the release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Come on, would you just join me in just praying and asking the Lord to just come and speak to us this morning and encourage us? And Lord, we just thank You. We're gathered in this place as Your people, the people of God, people of faith. And we're here to do so much more than sing a few songs and hear a good message. We're here to encounter the living God. And as we visit, open Your word, Lord, we open our hearts to receive from You. We invite You, Holy Spirit, to come and to speak to us, to encourage us, Lord. We invite You to heal us, Lord, any places where we've got challenges in any area, Lord, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. We thank You, Lord, that You are our healer. We thank You, God, that You are bigger than our problems. We thank You that the cross does have the final word. We thank You that the blood of Jesus and His risen life is more powerful than any area of sin, of darkness, of shame, of guilt. You are good. Your love endures forever. And You desire this morning to strengthen us as Your people. And we're thankful for it today in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. It says they will rebuild the ancient ruins. It says they'll restore the places long devastated. Listen, God is a God of restoration. Come on, if you've got an area in your life that is a little shabby and it needs to be restored, you need to be encouraged this morning. That's a prime area for God to show up in your life. Come on, how many of you have seen the show Fixer Upper? Listen, God's the original Fixer Upper. Chip and Joanna Gaines don't got nothing on God. They say this, they say, we'll take the worst house in the best neighborhood and turn it into the dream home for our clients. God can take the worst house in the worst neighborhood and turn it into a home that's filled with royalty. He's a restorer. He's on the move. He's doing things in your life. If you have an area, I'm telling you, I'm encouraging you, the area of your life that needs to be restored, you need to sit up and you need to pay attention. You need to submit it and present it before God. Watch Him move in your life. And then watch how He takes the very area that today seems hopeless, that today seems lost, that today seems impossible. He'll restore it and He'll use that very area to bring life to others through the power of your testimony. I see it time and time and time again. people that have problems in their marriage, their family, addiction, and it's they're up so close to it. They're so surrounded by it, the doubt, the fear, the intimidation. But God moves as they just begin to do what we have to do when we find ourselves in that position, and we come and we present it before God, and we say, God, I'm at the end of my rope. God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't know where to turn, so I'm turning to you. And God is a healer and a restorer. And then he takes that very area. A lot of the books that are written about marriage, a lot of the books that are written about freedom from addictions are written by people who once found themselves in the very throes of those bondages and problems. God desires to move in your life. He desires to begin to heal you and restore you and strengthen you so that you can begin, as we say often, to not just be strengthened to stand, but strengthened to begin to move forward in God's purposes for your life. He created you for a purpose. He wants to heal you and set you free, and then he wants to begin to partner with you. And I just was meditating on this, and the Lord just began to show me how a lot of times I'm kind of guilty of saying that I'm doing things for God. And he just interrupted me as I was typing these notes, because there were a couple places where I typed in for God, do this for God, do this for God. He interrupted me. He just said, you know what would be better if you would start to write with God. And listen, I don't want to be legalistic. There's places in the scriptures where it says for God, in Christ. But he's God with us. And Jesus looked at the disciples after he had told them some challenging things, and they were questioning and they were doubting. In Matthew 19, verse 26, and he said this. He looked at them and he said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And the Lord just began to just speak to me. And again, it's not legalistic, but there's a principle here. God is looking to begin to walk with you. God is looking to begin to partner with you. And religion says that we do things for God, but relationship is an invitation to begin to live and do things with God. And it's subtle, but can you see the distinction? And can you see how there could be new levels of freedom and breakthrough when we begin to embrace that God hasn't called us to just do things for him? He desires us to do things with him. He's not looking for employees, but he's looking for sons and daughters. And in John 15, he actually uses the word friends. He says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He wants friends. He wants sons. He wants daughters. He's not looking for employees. He's looking for friends. And religion it causes us to sense to want to do things out of obligation, but relationship is what God's after. And everything that God wants to do in you, through you, and for you is an invitation, not an obligation. And we use this term, organized religion. And you know what? We need to not despise organization. And even organized religion has accomplished many great things in the world. I mean, the Red Cross and many hospitals and scientific breakthroughs and music and all these things, a lot of it's come out of organized religion. But I just began to think about this, and the Lord said, don't despise organization. Begin to build a culture where it's organized relationship instead of organized religion. Organized relationship. We begin to understand the invitation and the call of God and the opportunity and why Jesus came to pay the price for our sin and our guilt and shame was not just to get us to heaven, and even heaven's all about relationship. For eternity, just enjoying a relationship with your Heavenly Father. For eternity, just enjoying worshiping Jesus and thanking him for all that he did and made possible. He's all about relationship. And it's the invitation of God to us in this season. As I was praying and just seeking God for what he wanted to speak, as we began to turn the calendar into 2018, he began to speak to me, and I've been sharing it with you, that the invitation of God to us corporately and individually in this season is that he desires for us to draw nearer. He desires for us to grow closer, and he desires for us to go deeper in him. All three things of which are connected to relationship. All three things are part of building and growing and drawing near, growing close, going deeper. It's the invitation, not just to our church, but it's the invitation to you as a believer, to you as a disciple, to you as a son of the living God, to you as a daughter of the King. It's his heart for us. It's his heart for us, relationship. And so we desire to be a church that introduces people, that revives people. It's why we're called Rev City. We desire to revive people to life in Christ as we reveal Jesus to them. And that the life that we're leading them to is not a life of religion. It's a life of relationship. And listen, I'm encouraged about what I believe is possible and what I believe God is inviting us to and what God is calling us to as a church. I believe that I see and I sense in my life, in my heart, from my position as a pastor in this place and from my involvement in our eldership and as I engage with some of you guys as servant leaders in our church, I sense faith beginning to stir. I sense faith beginning to rise for what God desires to do in our own lives and in our church and in our city. And I believe that God is calling us to be a place of refuge and a place of relationship, a place where people really can discover what it means to be revived to life in Christ. Listen, turn to Joshua chapter 4. Turn back to Joshua chapter 4. It's one of my favorite passages, and it's I want to visit Joshua 4, and then I want to just celebrate some of the ways that the Lord's moved in and through our church family in 2017. And I believe that it's important as faith rises for what God's going to do in your life, as faith rises for what God's going to do in our church, as faith rises for what God wants to do through us in our city and with him in our city, it's important to remember what he's already done. It's important to remember his faithfulness. Listen, I see all the time, we tend because of our human nature, we tend, which is a fallen nature, by the way, until it's restored and redeemed in Christ Jesus, we tend to focus on the problems and the challenges that we're up against more than the promises and the opportunities that God has laid before us. And I believe that it's important. The Word of God says that we overcome by the blood of Jesus, which is something none of us could do, but then by the word of our testimony, which is partly our responsibility to keep before us. Reminding ourselves, God's been faithful in previous seasons. God's seen us through some things. There were places where the enemy came and tried to take you out, but God saw you through and you're still standing. And not just standing, but come on, you're moving forward. And so Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, and God's seen the people of God through some amazing stuff. He's delivered them from bondage. He's part of the Red Sea. He's led them across a river that was in the stages of flood. And it says in verse chapter 1, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan and carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel, and he told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God, and each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, each of you. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? And then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. And these stones will stand as a memorial among the people of God forever. And if you fast forward to verse 24, he says this, he did this so that all the nations of the earth might know, that they might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Listen, God wants us to remember in the midst of challenges, in the midst of obstacles, in the midst of questions, in the midst of doubts, in the midst of fears, in the midst of uncertainties in any area of your life, there's power in remembering what God's already done. He's led you through some things, I promise you. I don't know what you're up against today, but God does. But what I do know is that every one of us has been through some things. Every one of us has a testimony. And I'm encouraging you today, if you're up against a challenge, if you're going through a test, you can't spell testimony without test. And some of you, we've been studying the life of David the last few weeks, and when those lions and those bears would come, some of you would say, oh, I'm in trouble, but God's heart is you're in training. I'm preparing you to battle these lions and these bears because I've got giants for you to kill down the line. If you're going through something today, begin to just remind yourself, don't allow the enemy to cause your trials and your tribulations and your problems and your worries and your cares to become too prominent and preeminent in your mind. Allow yourself to begin to take a time and pause and say, Lord, I'm up against some stuff, and some of these challenges are real. Listen, I'm not telling you to ignore, turn a blind eye to it. I'm telling you, in fact, to take a hold of it and look it right in the eye and say, sickness, a doubt, fear, poverty, lack, depression, whatever it is, I'm taking you and I'm looking you right in the eye and I'm reminding myself and I'm speaking to you and I'm speaking over my circumstances. God has been faithful to see me through some things before and he'll be faithful to see me through this. Listen, if and when you decide to begin to pursue the promised land that God's called you to, there's going to be some things that seem to stand in your way. There are going to be some obstacles. There are going to be some things that rise up to cause you to doubt, to cause you to fear, to cause you to try to shrink back or hold back or go back or look back. But listen, if and when you're pursuing the promises of God, you better believe that the power and provision of God are going to be with you and for you, to deliver you, to save you, to see you through. And he saw the people of God through the River Jordan, which was in flood stage, and he backed it up and he stopped it and he allowed them to go through. They had to step out in faith, but as soon as they did, he backed it up and he saw them through. And then I just think it's a powerful story that he took the very stones that the enemy intended to trip them up and cause them to be buried under, and he called them to use those very stones to build a reminder of his faithfulness, not just to them, but to future generations. And maybe today you feel like you're at rock bottom, and I just want to encourage you, God has a way of redeeming your rock bottom and making it a road to his promises. He desires to carry you across and through. He desires for you to walk across the very things that the enemy intended to trip you up, and he desires for you to then take those things that the enemy desired to tie around your neck and weigh you down and bury you under and begin to build them up and say, the Lord saw me through this, and he saw me through this, and he saw me through this, and he saw me through this, and when I look at this thing, I'm reminded that God's able to see me through the next thing too. Listen, the very stone, the one stone, he said each of you, remember he said each of you, he said each of you get a stone. The one stone that I carry and that I place as a monument before God is just a rock on a beach. The one stone that you can carry all alone, it's just a rock on a beach. But when we begin to join together, when we begin to each of us take the things that God's seen us through, and each of us begins to take the things that God's called us to, and we begin to bring them together, and we begin to pile them together in unity and with strategic thinking, we begin to build something. It begins to become more than just a rock on a beach. It begins to build as a monument to the living God. Listen, we need each other. God never intended us for us to do it alone. It's why we have life groups. It's not just because we need something else to do as a church. It's because we believe that God created us for community, and he created us for relationship. And we need one another. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, just as a body, though one, we're one body, the body has many parts, but all of its parts form one body. And so it is with Christ. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And reading down in verse 21 through 27, it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, listen, you need to hear this morning. God's connected you to the body of Christ for a reason. There's a part that you play. And we must not fall into the trap and the sin of comparison of saying, well, I want to do this, or I want to be this, or why didn't God call me this? Why? Whatever God, however God's made you and what he's called you to is important in the mission of the gospel. It's important to what God's doing in this place called Rev City, which is just a place where we're standing for the gospel and reaching people to revive them to life in Christ. It's important. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that even seem to be weaker are indispensable. Some of you have let the enemy lie to you and say that your part is not important. And God's word actually says your part is indispensable. It can't happen without you. And the parts that we think are less honorable, it goes on to say we treat with special honor. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there would be no division in the body. Now that you, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here for time. Now that you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Your role, your part in what God's doing in his kingdom, in this church, in this church family, in this city is important. And listen, come on, we're better together. We can do so much more when we begin to serve together and we begin to lean in together. What we can accomplish and build together is far greater than what any of us could build on our own. And that's where I want to just begin to just highlight and celebrate this. These are just a few of the things, and there's no way we could compile them all. And if there's something that's important to you that we missed and didn't get on here, I apologize for that. This is just a representation of what God did and just some of the things that God did in us and through us and with us in 2017. And it's amazing. I mean, sometimes we can just kind of get frustrated or disappointed or kind of hopeless, or there's doubt that comes in. And it's interesting what happens when you begin to take all these individual things and ways that God used us and you begin to compile it together. All these individual stones where in and of themselves might not seem too significant, but when you begin to put them together, it's a monument to the faithfulness and the call of God upon our life and our church. Amen? Listen, because many of you we're willing to get up and show up and prepare things and have things in place and hold the door open to help every precious person and family feel welcomed and valued and cared for. We saw many new people come into the church. There were 166 new people that actually went through our membership process and became a part of what God's doing here. And of those people, 46 people gave their lives to Christ and also followed through and were water baptized as a public declaration of their new faith in Christ. Come on, that's worth celebrating. Amen. Many of these precious people brought their children along with them. And last year in 2017, 338 individual children were checked into our children's ministry, where we offer children's ministry in an atmosphere that really wants to raise them up to know God and become world changers for God. Because over 90 of you made yourself available to plan and prepare and serve, we welcomed over 160 children, the biggest vacation Bible school that we've ever had. And for a week, children were in an atmosphere where they were not just learning about God, but experiencing his love and his faithfulness towards them. Because you stepped up to serve, life groups came alive with nearly 30 groups and over 200 people being strengthened in their relationship with God and with other believers. Because we came together to serve and to give and to support, over 750 kids were blessed by the Children's Holiday Shop, where we gathered resources and we made a way for kids that might otherwise not have a chance to purchase gifts and bless their family to come and be able to do so. Because you stepped out and you served and you were faithful to show up and to give, over 140 international students were reached, with many building Christ-centered relationships, some giving their lives to Jesus, some being filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of them headed in the direction because they are seeing Christ modeled in us. Listen, it's hard to get them all in document, and because of time, I can't reference all of them today, even some of the ones that I wanted to. But I hope you get the point. When we come together, when we serve together, when we recognize that we all have a part to play, we're better together. Amen? Amen? People were provided transportation to church that couldn't get here. People in nursing homes heard the word of God and received the Lord's Supper. People in prison were ministered to and received God's word. People that were hospitalized were prayed for. Come on, there's only so many people that I can visit. And many of you are stepping up and you're answering the call and you're ministering and you're going and you're doing the work of ministry. You're being the hands and feet of Jesus. Our youth group was activated in faith. They joined with other youth groups. They went out in the name of the Lord and they did good works and pointed people to Jesus. And this is amazing. Because we united together and because of the generosity of this church, we sowed over $150,000 into the area of missions locally, nationally, and internationally. Come on, that deserves a good praise. That was a 26% increase over the previous year. And we blessed local ministries like Willow that ministers to women who have been battered and abused and their families. We help people receive food and financial assistance and medical attention through the Heartland Community Health Clinic. We helped moms and children, and especially moms who were experiencing a pregnancy that they didn't anticipate or expect, and they were searching for answers and solutions. We helped for there to be a God-centered, Word of God-based answer and solution to help them to make a quality life decision. We helped because of our giving and because of your faithfulness and because of God's faithfulness to move through us and with us. We helped the Word of God to be translated into new language in remote parts of Mexico and in the Solomon Islands. And our prayers and our giving continue to establish a new Christian church in the Middle Eastern nation of Turkey, one of the darkest places in the world. Our giving continues to fund a Bible school in the Solomon Islands where leaders are being trained up in the Bible to make a difference in their nation. We helped and provided hope and housing for many orphans in the nation of Kenya. We began supporting a ministry called Messianic Jewish Bible Institute, which is training pastors with Jewish backgrounds to go into Jewish communities and lead Christian congregations. Come on, how many of you know that's significant? Because we activated together in generosity and faith and we were willing to show up and serve, a group of nearly 160 of us gathered together and went out to serve our city, delivering over 180 Thanksgiving meals to families in need all around Lawrence. Having you know, we were bringing more than just some food to people. We were bringing a lifeline of hope that is Jesus Christ to people who desperately need it. Amen? Come on, when we gather together, when we embrace that we're a body, and when we realize and understand that God, just like a body, there are many parts that work together for one purpose, we're better together. And I just want to say, as your pastor, I just want to say thank you. And if you're new or relatively new, I just want to invite you to come and be a part of what God's doing here. And as you connect, if you're new, I'm speaking to you. If you, as you connect to what God's doing and you begin to come alongside of us, I believe we'll be better off because God brought you here. I believe if he brought you here, it's not by accident. It's because God's up to something in your life. And we want to welcome you and we want to value you and we want to encourage you to come and find your part, discover your place, and begin to help us reveal Jesus to our city. Amen? So come on, people of God, would you just stand to your feet? And worship team, would you come? I'm going to do things a little bit differently, but I still want you to come and minister as we wrap up and dismiss today. And I want to go ahead and ask our altar ministry team to come and present yourself and just make yourself available to receive people. Go ahead, altar ministry team, just step out and find your place there. I want to pray over several groups of people, but before I do, can we just say, Lord, we're just so thankful. We're so grateful for what you've done in our lives. And in the places where the enemy's tried to keep our focus on the stones that have tried to trip us up, we thank you, Lord. We're reminded of all the ways you've seen us through before. Come on, that's one of the groups of people that I want to pray for and minister to today. I want you to just, if there's something in your life that continues to trip you up, and you just say, Pastor T, I hear what you're saying, and it all sounds good, but I just, if you only knew where I've been, I've tried, I've asked God, I've taken steps, and I just continue to trip over this area. If that's you this morning, if that's you today, I want to encourage you, don't give up. And just believe that there's an atmosphere of fresh faith today for God to lead you through to the other side of that thing. If that's you this morning, come on, worship team, just begin to play behind me. And if that's you this morning, I just want you to just, in faith, respond to God and just say, Lord, I'm presenting that thing to you, that I'm presenting that stone before you. And maybe you want to even just, in faith, just lift your hands before the Lord like you're presenting that thing before him. Thank you, God, for fresh faith today. Thank you, Lord, for a season of breakthrough. Thank you for a season of fresh faith and fresh favor, God, in the name of Jesus. Now I want to pray for people who have maybe been isolated. The enemy's come and he's told you that you're not worthy. The enemy's come and told you that you're not wanted. The enemy's used a lie, a deception, to try to keep you on the outside looking in for what God's doing in his family and in his church and in this community. And I'm just telling you, that's the voice of the enemy. And I thank you, Lord, today that you've called every precious person that's here in the sound of my voice, every precious person, Lord, that will hear this message after the fact, you've called them, God, to be a part of this family. They're not here by accident. It's an invitation that you're giving them, Lord, to become a part of something that's bigger than what they could do on their own strength, God. God's about relationship, and he's building a family. He's building a family, and we invite you to come and join the family. Lord, we thank you today for just healing. Any place where there's been words spoken, any place where the enemy's lied and deceived, any place, Lord, where people have bought into those lies of inferiority and insignificance, again, that where you're not worthy or wanted, Lord, I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, that would be broken off of people today. In your love, in your presence, God, in an atmosphere of faith today, Lord, those would be broken. It would begin to shift, God, that in those places where there's been hardness in their heart or bitterness or rejection, that today, Lord, you would come and you would begin to soften their heart with your love. That today, Lord, you would begin to come and just bring fresh faith, Lord, for what you're inviting them and leading them to be and become in you, God, what you're leading and inviting them to become a part of in this place, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I want to put our hands together for Jesus here in a moment, and then I want to dismiss you. But I want to invite you, as after I dismiss you, to come forward, and I want you to come and prepare to receive ministry. If maybe I already prayed over that area in your life, but would you come forward and allow someone to agree with you in faith today as we dismiss you? Amen. So come on, can we just give the Lord a clap of praise and just thank him for what he's done and.